Be seated.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
We started a sermon series last week that I entitled Rooted, and I want to continue that idea today. As our goal as church followers, as Christians, my goal as a pastor, as staff of this church, our goal for all of us is that we would become deeply rooted in Christ, that our roots would continue through our lives to grow deeper into Christ, and as we sang, that our trust in him would grow, that our trust in him would abound, that throughout our life we could come up against obstacles and storms in our life, and we would be able to be strong through that because we would know in our hearts, I can trust in Jesus. One time I spoke a sermon a while back called Disciple when I first came to this church, and we are called to be disciples of Jesus. And a disciple is someone who copies a person, someone who studies what that person does and tries to emulate it. A disciple is a student of a person. A disciple is a follower of a person. Simply put, a disciple looks at what Jesus said and did and says, how can I say and do those things? A disciple is someone who looks what, you know, through a situation in our life and that we come across and we wonder, like, what's the right thing for me to do? What should I do in this situation? A disciple would say, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? Then that's what I want to do. And as we grow deeper roots into Christ, we can come across situations where we don't want to do what we think Jesus would do, but we're able to do it anyway because we are disciples of Christ, because we're men and women of faith. And that when our faith is tested in a situation where we don't really want to do what we feel like is the right thing to do, or we don't know what to do in this situation, but we can look at Jesus and say, this is what he would do. When I read the Bible, when I look at his life, when I look at the stories that we read, when I talk to fellow believers, this is what Jesus would do. So even if I don't understand it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through. And that's our goal as a pastor, goal for our church, a goal for us as individuals. As I was praying this morning over the sermon, I always pray over my sermon, Lord, and kind of essentially I pray that help these words to reach someone this morning, help these words to be impactful with someone this morning. But as I was praying this morning, I felt like instead of praying that, I wanted to pray, Lord, help me to hear this sermon this morning. Help this sermon to impact me this morning as well as us. Because I think it's something that we all need to live every day of our lives, letting our roots grow deeper, being followers of Christ. And I've been a part of many churches in my life and attended even more, and I don't believe that's what all churches, their goal is. I've seen different goals in churches. I haven't seen all churches. You'd think that as a church, you'd be like, yep, that's obviously a no-brain. We want to be rooted in Christ, and we want to do what Jesus would do in our lives. That's not necessarily what all churches do. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, they warn us about churches that may not always want to be rooted in Christ. And it says this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought you. Bringing swift destruction on themselves, many will follow their deprived conduct and will bring the ways of truth into dispute. That they will bring truth, something that is so obvious in Scripture, into conflict, into question, where truth should be ultimate. We should easily to discern right and wrong and good from bad and God's words from our own words. But many times truth can be a secret, can be destructive because of people's destructive thoughts brought into it. Many years ago, I did a baccalaureate service for the graduates at Gardner High School. And I was asked to do a short sermon and then a prayer over the Gardner High School students that were graduating. And there was about five or six pastors that were doing it. And I went almost last, I think it was the fourth person to go. And I was the only person that talked about Jesus in my baccalaureate speech. Now, baccalaureate is supposed to be a church blessing for graduating seniors. But of all the churches that came, none of them talked about Jesus because it is, in the church world, it's grown to one of those, it's not cool to always talk about religion. that we should be rooted in fairness and acceptance of all religions. But we know through Scripture that there is only one God. There's only one path to Christ. There's only one path to heaven. And we shouldn't be scared to say it, to speak it. We can still be fair. We can still be encouraging. We can still accept people where they are. But to speak the truth. We love people where we're at. We accept them. But we believe the Bible is correct when it says there's only one way to God. The cornerstone of our faith is knowing him. We call that being rooted in him. This morning I want to read to you part of Paul's prayer to the church. And he urges his followers to be rooted and tells us why. And it's like three-chapter prayer. And I want to take a couple pieces out. I'd encourage you to go back and read the whole chapters at your own convenience. But it's Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 16 and 17. Paul says this, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's the heart of a pastor to know him better. Being rooted in Christ makes you know him better. And then Paul goes on to, you know, preach about some theological things. And then I want to look at how he finishes his prayer in chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. He kneels before the Creator. You know, don't misunderstand that or mess it up with Buddha or Muhammad or the Dalai Lama or Allah. The Creator. He kneels before the Creator. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let me read that one more time to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Literally, the scripture means to become mighty through the power of the Holy Spirit. To become mighty through Christ's power living deep in our being. Gives us power over sin, strength to do the right thing, the ability to discern right from wrong, the power to pray, the power to pray for our children, for our loved ones, for our church, for ourselves. Being rooted in Christ makes you mighty, makes you powerful. Goes on in verse 17, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Being rooted, being established, gives you strength, gives you discernment, gives you understanding, helps you to know him better. Now, I think all of us are here this morning in church, so we have some sort of a knowledge of who Christ is. But Paul says it is only through being deep-rooted, through time, we can know how long and high and wide and deep his love truly is. I truly think being a Christian is a journey. It's a marathon, not a quick race, but it's something that takes time over the period of our lives where if we continue to let our roots grow deeper, we continue to truly know him better. Remember when I was 15 years old, I went to my cousin's church and met my now wife, and she was 14, a year younger than me. She was playing the piano in this church, and I was like awestruck, love at first sight, right? And so I made a point to always sleep over to my cousin's houses on Saturday night so I could go to Sunday to go to church and see Colleen. And I saw her for a few years before we actually started dating. But I remember thinking, like, anything I could figure out about her, what she liked, what she did, what made her smile, anything I could to hopefully get to know her better. And if you'd asked me at 15 or 16, do you know her, I'd say yes. But after being together for 25 years and married for 20, I know her a lot more now. that knowledge has only grown way deeper through the time we've had together. And I think that that is, simply put, can be our relationship with the Lord. When we first discover him, we first, you know, maybe experience some of his grace or his truth, or we feel a weight lifted from his forgiveness as young Christians, we're like, wow, that's powerful. You know, I get to know him. But it takes time. It takes letting our roots grow deeper that we truly get to know the Lord. And Paul says, when you truly start to know the Lord, you can start to try to grasp the concept of how big his love is. See, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, we know Christ's love, but a lot of places it's more about, like, don't mess up. His judgment, his wrath, his disappointment. There was a poll done years ago where they polled non-Christians and Christians alike, and they asked them, what do you think God's number one thought about you is? And even with, and the poll wasn't much difference between the non-Christians and the Christians, but about, it was like a mid-70% of people thought disappointment would be God's number one thought, to be disappointed. And we can probably, if we think about it for a minute, we can see where that would come from. Like, we know it's not true, but it's easy to say, well, I messed up here and I messed up there and I fell short here. I'm disappointed in me, so probably God's disappointed in me too. But Paul says, when you get to know God, you're going to start to understand how amazing, how huge his love is for you. Being rooted helps you to know Christ's love. Being rooted is a commitment to grow in Christ for the rest of your life. My children, I'm the cook in my household. My wife can cook desserts, but she's not as great of regular food cook. In fact, sometimes she'll be like, I'll cook tonight, and we'll all be like, oh no, it's okay. Like, we got this. Hopefully she's not listening right now. And so I've tried to, like, branch out. My mom's a great cook, and I've studied cooking my whole life, and I've become a pretty good cook. And I've tried to branch out into making desserts, because the kids, they don't want, you know, salmon and scalloped potatoes and corn. They want cookies. And usually it's my wife's point of, you know, my wife's job. And so she was gone on business, and my kids are like, let's make cookies. Now, cookies are easy. I can follow a recipe. And so I'm like, serenity to my daughter, I'm gonna teach you to make cookies, and then you don't have to ask me next time. And I've made cookies before, and they were good, so I was confident. So we have these big Sam's Club containers. They actually make them for cereal. You know how if you open a box of cereal and you take two bowlfuls, and it doesn't get sealed right, it's dry and stale? So they have these big boxes. You can dump a whole box of cereal in it and seal it, and it doesn't ever get stale. Well, I bought them for not only cereal, for like flour and sugar, rice, like a whole bunch of them, so I don't have to open the bag. So I get a recipe and get the mixing bowl, and I'm like, Serenity, we're going to put 3 cups of flour in. And so I get the flour bucket out and put the flour in it and put everything together, and we mix it up, and I always like to try the dough, like, how is it? Is it good? And I know you get salmonella, but I never have, so I keep eating the dough and not worrying about it. And we tried the dough, and I was like, it's disgusting. Like, it's really gross. Like, it doesn't taste right. It's not even the right consistency. But I looked over the recipe again, and I'm like, it is exactly what I did. I did the recipe. I used, you know, the cup measures, and we didn't, like, let the flour sink down. We cut it off right, and they were full. So, like, it was to the full measure, and everything seemed right. And so I'm like, let's just cook them, Serenity. Maybe the dough is just not good. So we cooked them, and the cookies on a cookie sheet became flat. Like, the chocolate chips were 5 times taller than the batter. And we took it out, and all the kids, I'm like, just try one. And my sons were like, oh, it's not that bad. But I could see them, like, spit it out in the trash can afterwards. And so I remember just thinking, what did I do wrong? Like, I know I measured it right. And so I got the flour bucket out again, and I, you know, smelled in, it smelled fine, and so I took my finger and dipped it in the flour and put it in my mouth, and it was confectionery sugar. So there was no flour in it. There was just sugar and more sugar in it. And I'm like, that would explain why it was so disgusting, because it was the wrong ingredient. And I tell you that because we are created to fill our lives with something. We are created to fill our lives with something. We don't always fill them with the right thing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says this. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When you're rooted in Him, that your love, His love for you, will surpass your knowledge, and you may be filled to the measure with the love of God, with the fullness of God. We're created to fill ourselves with something. Like, there's a part of your heart and your soul that God needs to be in, that He needs to fill it with. And we see it all the time throughout all of cultures, where if God's not in there and He's not to the full measure in there, then we try to fill it with something. Maybe it's power or money. We love to fill it with accomplishments or titles. Some of us love to fill that gap in our lives with possessions. If we just have more things, then I'll be full. All the while, Christ is what's missing. The full measure of Christ is what's missing. But many times in life, Christians and non-Christians alike, we don't recognize that it is Him who can fill us, the fullest measure in our lives. But we're still dumping confectionery sugar into the cookie batter and wondering why it doesn't taste right. We're dumping things into our hearts and lives and wondering, why am I not happy? Why doesn't it feel right? Why am I not thankful? Because we're not full of Him. So as I conclude, that to know God's love is in essence one of the greatest fulfilling things that we could ever do. It's what can actually fill our hearts, can give us contentment, happiness, thankfulness in our lives, when we fill our hearts with the correct thing, what they were created to be filled with. So my conclusion is kind of a challenge. Will you commit to becoming more rooted in Christ? Many of you have been in church longer than I've been alive. That you've been here, you've been devoting your life to the Lord for years, and some of us have started church and wandered away, or maybe this is just a new thing for us and we're just kind of getting our feet wet. But would you commit not to me or to Columbia Street Baptist Church, would you commit to God to fill yourself with Him, to become deeper rooted? Would you in your hearts believe? I've tried to fill my life with many things, but the only thing that's going to give me that contentment, to give me peace, to help me know I'm running in the right direction, is when I fill myself with Christ. And we only do that through becoming more rooted in Him. And rooted is being rooted. There's so many ways we can do that. I listed a few, but one, obviously there's the read, listen, and study to the Word of God. That we can continue to root ourselves by feeding ourselves the Holy Word of Christ. There's prayer that creates a relationship with you and God, that creates a dialogue that continues, that helps to develop our understanding of Him, to help us to see His true love in our lives. So, you know, studying the Word, praying. There's worshiping Him. I love this part of becoming rooted, to give back praise to the Lord. Because I think worship's not about just taking. It's one of the things that's about giving. When we pray because we want something. Even when we read the Word, a lot of times we want some wisdom or some truth, or we want some direction, or we want an answer, so we search the Word. But worship is about giving praise. It's one of the times where I don't feel like I'm just asking for something, but I'm trying to give something. And it helps your roots to grow deep when you can worship the Lord, give thanks, praise Him, be thankful, be in awe of His glory. And lastly, surround yourself with His people, whether that's going to church or having a home group or a life group or a prayer group, or a group of people who are Christians, that you would surround yourself with His people. Our culture is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and smaller groups of people who actually know each other. You look at social media and even the major big churches that are around today. There's, you know, I was watching a documentary about Joel Osteen, and there's 100,000 people that go to his church, which is, I'm glad he's able to reach people. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I'm saying that as we grow bigger, our circle of trusted people gets smaller. Find someone in your life that you trust, that you can become deep-rooted with, that you can continue to challenge each other as iron sharpens iron and grow deeper. So study the word, pray, worship, and surround yourself with his people. Would you commit, have a conversation with the Lord to allow today be a day where you decide I'm going to continue or I'm going to start letting my roots grow deeper. We read to you Ephesians 3, 17, 18 again as we close. I pray, it's Paul praying, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Let that be our prayer, our hope, that we can grasp how amazing, powerful his love is. And that when we are rooted and established together, we may have power. Power over evil, power over sin, power to discern, power of wisdom in our lives. Amen? Please stand with me. Let me close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for your word, Lord. And I pray that as we read your Holy Scripture, that Paul's words would sink in. Lord, we just have an epiphany of the simplicity of, I want to make a priority in my life to grow deeper in him, to let my roots grow, so that when storms come up, I'm not uprooted or blown over, washed away, but Lord, I can hold fast, because when we grow deeper, not only do you give us power over sin and evil and wisdom, but Lord, when we grow deeper, you help us to start to glimpse and understand the fullness of your love. Lord, I pray that we would fill ourselves with you, because we're trying to fill ourselves with something anyway. Lord, help us to know that you are the only thing that's going to make us truly feel full. Let us put the right things into our life and continue to grow deeper in you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.